The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Today, we are celebrating the best news in history, that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And why is that the best news? Because apart from Christ, before he came, we were sinners, and we were therefore condemned under God's wrath, under the devil's tyranny, and under the rule of death, and heading to eternal hell if not saved. But the good news we're celebrating today is that God so loved us and desired our salvation, he sent Jesus Christ, who came and lived a perfect life, God with us in the flesh. And he went to the cross and died for your sins and mine to set us free, to liberate us from sin, death, the devil, and hell. And then he rose again from the dead on the third day and had victory over all these for you and for me, that we, believing on Jesus, might be saved and come to eternal life and the resurrection as well ourselves. So we're celebrating the best news in history today. And to believe in Jesus Christ and his resurrection is eternal life. We read that in Scripture, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Paul says, because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So to believe in his resurrection is eternal life for us. I want to ask you today, do you believe? I know you do. You're here. But that you may be made the firmer in your faith today in his resurrection. Let's take a look today at this question. Is it hard or easy to believe in Christ rising from the dead on the third day? What do you think? Hard or easy? And to get at that, let's take a look at this question today. Namely, who believed in the resurrection of Christ that he would rise again while Jesus yet hung there on the cross bleeding? Who believed at that time? Was it hard or easy for them back then? And how does it become hard? How does it become easy? What does God teach us about that for our making it easier for us today by the Holy Spirit? Well, let's start out by just asking that question, okay? Who believed in the resurrection of Christ while Jesus was still on the cross? Let's just run through the pages of history there in Scripture and consider it. First, let's ask, how about Gentile rulers, Roman authorities? Did any of them believe that Christ would be raised while he was on the cross? No, you guys are so good. I've turned you into a Pentecostal congregation. Think about Pilate. You know, Pilate has Jesus before him, and he says, so you are a king? Jesus says, for this I was born, and for this I've come into the world, says our Lord, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate answers, what is truth? In other words, he was clueless. It was impossible for him to believe. Hard, he did not believe. How about regular Gentiles? How about the Roman soldiers? Did they believe? None of them believed, for we read that they plaited a crown of thorns and arrayed him in a purple robe and came up and mocked him, spit him, and struck him with their hands. You wouldn't do that if you believed he was the king to rise on the third day. So they didn't believe. No faith found there either. It was hard. How about the Jews, though? Can we go to them? They had the scriptures, which was clear in the Old Testament that Christ would rise. Did any of them believe? No. They all chanted and roared at him, crucify him, crucify him. So they didn't believe. No faith found there. It was hard. How about the Jewish authorities? You think maybe they believed? They had the scriptures, and they knew it better than the crowds because they studied these things. But what do we read of these people? They said, sir, they said to Pilate, we remember that this impostor said, while he was still alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. So they knew he'd said that. But then they asked Pilate, give us a band of soldiers so that we can go and secure that tomb to make sure that he doesn't rise or that he's not stolen away by the disciples and the last fraud become worse than the first. So they heard the word, but they disbelieved it. It was hard for them. Say the word hard.
Hard.
How about closer to home? The 12 or the disciples who followed him. Did any of them believe? Jesus said these words to them on the days when he's going up to the cross. He says, "Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that's written of the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again." Did any of them believe? Even for this word they had, clear as day, clear as a bell. They did not believe. They were scattered. In fact, you think of the secret disciples, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, came with spices and wrapped him up and put him in a tomb saying, "It's over. He's gone. We don't expect him to get up again. These spices are to preserve his decomposing body." So they didn't believe. Neither the women who brought the spices. How about, though, the 12? You think of all people, the 12, the greatest. Did they believe? They were scattered, and the cream of the crop, the best of the 12, Peter and John. Did they believe? Well, even on the day of the resurrection, at the word of the women, they ran to the tomb, and they stooped and looked in, and Peter and John both went in, and they saw the tomb empty, and they went away going, "Gee, I wonder what's going on." They were hard. They did not believe. And especially you could even say Thomas, who said, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." That's a downright refusal. So what would you say to the question, did any believe at the resurrection of the resurrection at the time of the cross? Did anybody believe? Was it hard or easy? What do you think?
Hard.
It was hard then for them. It was hard for many in history, hard for many today. But I want to ask next, is it really hard to believe in the resurrection of Christ, or actually easy? Well, was there no one found on the earth at that time to believe that Christ would rise from the dead while he was yet bleeding on the cross? Not even one? Well, not among those whom we've looked at so far. But have we exhausted every corner of the earth? Is there not one single spark of faith anywhere to be found? Well, actually, as I look at the scriptures, there was one dark place, one lone man, one lonely man who was weak, a sinner, and in great pain. He alone believed. And who am I talking about here? The thief on the cross. And actually, as we look at that, I'd say for him, it was easy. Let's take a look at that and see if that's the case. Did the thief on the cross next to Christ really believe that Christ would rise from the dead while he was yet there, suffering and bleeding before he died? Well, we read of them that there were two criminals crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left, right? And at the beginning, they were both hardened unbelievers, because when the chief priests and the scribes and the rulers came up and mocked Jesus upon the cross, and they reviled him, these two, the thieves, reviled him as well. They started out unbelievers. But then it seems something strange happened over the course of the next several hours, something miraculous and amazing. One of the thieves seems to have come to faith. Really? Well, what do we read of him? You know, when you look at the scriptures, we only hear really one other thing about this thief on the cross. One of them, he said towards the end, after his torturous experience, as his life is petering out, he hangs there and he looks to Jesus and he says, gasping, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." What a confession. Amen? Did he believe in Jesus Christ? And did he believe that Christ would rise again, even there on the cross? And was he the only one? He alone? Well, let's investigate that further. Let's consider what he said. He starts out, he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." What do we know in the scriptures about calling on Jesus' name? Look at Romans chapter 10. Paul says, quoting Joel 2, "Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Was this man actually calling on Jesus' name for salvation? Well, he's saying, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." In other words, don't leave me to perish forever, but let me be with you where you are in your kingdom. He's calling on Jesus' name for salvation. Would you say he's saved? Is that real faith? Well, let's consider further what he said. Only one other word do we hear from him in the scriptures. After reviling him at the start, later on, we hear that when the other thief continued to revile Jesus upon the cross, this thief said to the other thief, "Do you not fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." What do we hear in that confession? He's confessing, number two, secondly, that he is a sinner. Amen? He says, we are suffering here for the due reward for our crimes, which is death. Is that not a great confession, wouldn't you say? He's repenting here. He is acknowledging his own guilt. And to confess your own guilt and sin before God, is that a good thing? Take a look at Jeremiah chapter 3, where God said this to his people. "Only acknowledge your guilt, that you've rebelled against the Lord your God, and you've not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. And I will take you, and I will bring you to Zion." Great. So he's already calling on Jesus' name, confessing he's a sinner. But third, what else does he confess? He says, "We indeed are suffering justly for our crimes, but this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong." What's the third thing that the thief is confessing here? That Jesus alone is righteous. He only, of all people on the earth, because this thief is saying to the other thief, "We, both of us, are guilty, rightly so before God and men." And you know what? Is he only condemning himself and the other thief here? What do we hear? He's saying Jesus is righteous. He's unjustly put upon this cross. Therefore, he's condemning Pilate. He's saying he's guilty. And he's also saying the Jews who put him here on this cross, falsely charging him, they are guilty. And the Jewish people who said, "Crucify him," they're guilty. And even the soldiers, the Gentiles who put him here, they're guilty. The whole world is guilty, and this man alone is righteous, is the confession of the thief. Would you say that's a good confession? Does that sound pretty like a saving confession to you? Do you hear, by the way, a hint of the gospel in that confession? "I am a sinner, I acknowledge my guilt, and this man alone is righteous." Does that sound like Isaiah when he said, "All we like his sheep have gone astray, we're guilty, and the Lord hath laid on him, the righteous one, the iniquities and sins of us all"? Well, he had, yes, a hint of the gospel, at least, a golden nugget laid there on the trail to the mother lode, which you and I have, the gold mine of the gospel. So he confessed these things, but he also confessed here, note, "Jesus, you are the true king." Is that really true? Well, what does he say? "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." In other words, he's saying, if you're coming in your kingdom, I believe you are a king, for you have to be a king to have a kingdom. I believe you're the true king of Israel. What a confession. Was anybody else saying that? Not a one. At that time, we read, how did he know that Jesus was the king? Well, remember when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, all the crowds were saying, "Hail, the king of the Jews." And the charge against Jesus when the Jews brought him before Pilate was, "This man says he's a king. He's against Caesar." And if he missed these things, at least he's hanging there for several hours next to Jesus, and what's over his head? Pilate put a title there saying, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Do you think he had some time to read that? And he started out not believing in Jesus, reviling him, but he came over the course of hours to believe. "Jesus, you are the king, and you're coming in your kingdom." So he believed Jesus was the true king. King of kings, Lord of lords, he has a kingdom. But now let's get to the big question. Did that thief believe in the resurrection of Christ, that he'd rise again? Did he even believe that? Well, let's see what he says. He says, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Can you say the words, when you come? If he believes that Jesus is going to come in his kingdom, he's saying, Jesus, you're dying. You're on the cross. You're not coming down from here. But I know that this is not the end for you. You're going to win because you're going to come in your kingdom. In other words, he has to be alive again if he's going to come in his kingdom. He can't do that while he's dead. So he's saying, I believe, Jesus, you're going to come again in your kingdom. You're going to rise again from the dead. And when you do, remember me. Does that sound like faith to you? He believed Jesus would rise again. He's the only one. Think of this. Not the Gentile rulers, not the Gentiles, not the Jewish authorities or the Jews, the scribes, the chief priests, the secret disciples, the women, the apostles, not even Peter and John, but this man and this man alone believed Christ would rise while Jesus yet hung upon the cross, that he would rise again. Wow, and again I'll say wow. Amen. Can you say wow?
Wow.
Does Jesus actually confirm his faith that he actually is believing here? What does Jesus do? Jesus on his cross turns to him in his great agony and pain and says to the man, truly, I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise. Is he confirming the faith? He says, yes, you are believing. And where I am, there also you shall be. So he's promising him salvation. And what does it mean to be in paradise? Well, he's not going to rise for 3 days. That's the victory coming soon. He's going to be in the place of the dead where the righteous are, awaiting Christ's victory. And when Christ rises from the dead and ascends, he's as much saying here, when I do that, you're going to come with me. Because the saints in the New Testament go up to heaven, and from there they will return on the last day when Christ comes with power and great glory, and he'll bring the kingdom to the earth. And he says, to the thief on the cross is implied in these words, when I do, and when I come in my kingdom, you shall be there with me. In other words, you too will be raised. What a promise. What a story. He promised him salvation and resurrection as well. And so he believed. Now, let's consider, was that hard or easy for this guy? Actually, easy. Say the word easy. He didn't go to seminary, although, as we said this morning, some people that go to seminary actually lose their faith, depending what seminary you go to. But ours, we teach the truth, praise God. But he didn't go to seminary. He didn't even have a lot of time to consider it. Just in a matter of hours, he was brought to faith. How? How is it so easy for this guy when everybody else was still in the dark, including Peter and John, in the hardness of their unbelief? How did he have it easy? Well, I'll tell you, one answer and one answer only, the Holy Spirit. Because what do we know as Lutherans in the third article of Luther's explanation of the creed? I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the true gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. So who was it that brought this man to faith easily? The Holy Spirit. Could he make it easy for you today as well to believe? Well, let's consider. Why did the Holy Spirit choose this man and this man alone? Well, partially because he wanted to save him and he only had a few minutes left before he died. But I believe really the reason that the Holy Spirit called the thief on the cross to faith and no one else, because he was going to be a type or a preview of all believers to come in the subsequent centuries to the end of time who would be saved. And he's showing here by this example how the Holy Spirit saves a man and brings him from hard to easy in terms of faith. Would you like to see how? Well, let's consider. This man started out, like you and me, a hardened unbeliever. He reviled Christ upon the cross with everybody else. It was hard for him to believe. What did the Holy Spirit do to him? The first thing he does, of three, is he takes the nails and he hammers him with the law right through his wrists, and the blood starts to flow. Why did he have to do this? And how did this make it easy for the man to believe? Because so long as you think you can save yourself, so long as you think you yourself are righteous and you can be your own savior, it'll be hard, nay, impossible for you to believe in the Savior. He hammered him with the law, showed him that he was a sinner, made him feel, and he gave the good confession. We are suffering justly for our crimes. We are guilty. He brought him low to give him faith. Exactly. When sometimes people call, no, 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 it's because their hearts are proud. Thank you for the illustration over there. I appreciate that. Think about the pride, and it was a great one. Think about the pride of everybody else in this situation. Pilate, he couldn't believe, for he says, I've washed my hands, I'm innocent. How about the Jewish authorities? We're so clean, we can continue to eat the Passover. How about the apostles? A couple days before, they were arguing which of them was the greatest. And Peter, the night before all this, says, though they all fall, I'll never fall. I'm the best. Pride. And it made it impossible to believe. If you're proud today, it's impossible for you to believe in Jesus Christ. It's hard, hard indeed. What does the Holy Spirit do? As to the thief on the cross, so do you. He hammers you with the law, with the nails, and shows you, you are a thief, you are a sinner, you're a condemned man, and your life is bleeding out, and you have little time left. Can he do that with you? Now, this didn't save the man, but it made him easy for him to believe. Let's consider that with you right now. Are you proud? In any way, to make it easy for you to believe, consider this. God says, you have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Apart from me, you are all condemned as thieves and sinners. And your time on earth is running out. My wrath is coming like a storm, and where will you hide on that day? You shall be condemned to hell if you stay in your sins. And your life and your time on earth is almost up. Does that start to make it kind of easy for you to believe? So the law doesn't save you, but it makes it easy, preparing you to believe and be saved. So let's take a look. The second thing that the Holy Spirit does to bring us to faith is he then shows us the Savior. Once we've been crushed by the law and nailed, he then, as with the thief, showed him Jesus hanging there. And at first, as he gazed upon Christ, he did not believe. He reviled him. He thought he was an ordinary man like everybody else. But as his lifeblood is pouring out, and he comes to the knowledge of his own sin, he looks differently on Jesus and he says, this man, see, he's done nothing wrong. He's innocent. He's righteous alone. And he begins to believe the gospel. And this is how the Lord, the Holy Spirit, works with us. And if it was easy for the thief to believe in the Savior as he looked upon him there, how much easier for you? He only had a little tiny gold nugget. You got the gold mine itself, namely the scriptures making this really clear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Humbled by the law, nailed by the Holy Spirit, do you look upon the Christ and see him there suffering for you? He's bringing you to faith in the gospel, in the Savior, to be saved. And what do we see by this also is that salvation is by grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. How do we see that here? Well, the thief, consider him. What could he do to save himself? Could he do a deed? Could he do anything to merit it? Could he do a work? His hands were nailed. But it had to be God's work and God's alone. And faith receives it, the gift of God by grace. The third thing that the Holy Spirit does to make it easy for him and easy for you and me to be saved is he has to convince the man that Christ will rise from the dead. How does he do this? Well, one way and one way only. The man heard the word that Jesus had said, I will rise on the third day, as even you see the Jewish authorities knew that, and he believed the word. So what does the Holy Spirit do for us? Dun-da-da! Brings out the trumpet. gives you the word of the testimony, I will rise again, and he puts faith into his heart through the preaching of the word, I will rise again. Now, it became easy when he was nailed and humbled, and he saw Jesus there to believe the word, he will rise again, and he came to salvation. Remember me when you come in your kingdom, he proclaimed. And if it was easy for the thief to believe through one little tiny word, I will rise again, how much easier for you who have not just one little word, but thousands of promises now in the treasure trove of the scriptures and the testimony of the apostles. If it was easy for him, it's easy peasy for you. Could you say those words? Easy peasy. What do you have? You have the trumpeting, not only I will rise again, but you have the words of the apostles. We saw him dead, and we saw him alive, and we are witnesses of these things. We trumpet that out to you. And Paul himself says, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised in accordance with the scriptures. And he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, then to more than 500 brethren at one time, then to James, last of all, as one untimely born. He appeared also to me, the least of the apostles. And we confess he's alive again. And you, believing these words, this gold mine of trumpeting to you from the Holy Spirit, he works faith in you. For faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. And so God has said it, Christ is raised, so it is, so we believe. Praise the Lord, the Lord's risen. So let's consider the final point then, and this is really the best thing for all. I save the best for last. Is the joy of this today, on this Resurrection Sunday. The joy of this is the promise that God has given to you who believe in Christ's resurrection, in whose resurrection is now easy to believe. What is the promise? Well, the thief only had this. Today you'll be with me in paradise, which is a great word of salvation and the kingdom. But you have the greater word, the clearer word, the far better word of Scripture. Jesus said, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day. For I'm going to be crucified, raised, ascend, and when I go up there, I'm going to come again with power and great glory in the clouds of heaven on the last day to give you the kingdom, the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. And when I do on that day, I will bring you with me, and I will give you my kingdom. You will rise, and you will be with me in my kingdom when I come in my kingdom to bring it to you. And there I will crown you with crowns called everlasting joy. I will remember you when I come in my kingdom. Aren't these the best words of all? This is joy, eternal life, and your own resurrection and coming to life again. If it was easy for the thief, it is a piece of cake for us to believe by the nails, by the cross, by the trumpet of the apostles who confessed it. And so let's rejoice today that God, by his Holy Spirit, has granted you and me to believe as the thief believed, and we with him on the day of Christ's coming will say again with loud shouts of joy, the Lord is risen! The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Did Any Believe in the Resurrection When Jesus Was on the Cross? I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from their former recreation center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.